Peace. The Last Dance, episode 78, baby. Come on, y'all, let's take a ride. Don't you say shit, just get inside. It's time to take your ass on another kind of trip. Cause you can't have the hop if you don't have the hip. Shout out to Coolio. With the extra coupon, close your eyes and hit the switch. We're going to a place where everybody kick it, kick it, kick it. Get out the ticket. Ain't no button, ain't no gripping. Ain't no punk ass nigga set tripping. Everybody got a stack and it ain't no crap. And it really don't matter if you're white or black. I wanna take you there like a staple singer. Put something in the tank and I know that I can bring it. If you can't take the heat, get your ass out the kitchen. We on a mission.
I don't know what that nigga Vinci on.
Yeah,
man,
that song was trash.
The hook was the best thing he ever had. Like,
you niggas is disrespectful.
You niggas is not gonna disrespect my childhood.
That's the reason why they never play the verses.
That shit trash.
That you shit is horrible.
Wild. So here we go, man. Episode 78. What's up, fellas? Hey, this was these last two episodes was the first two episodes I probably felt since episodes 1 and 2.
Did you make 5 and 6?
Like 5 and 6. Yeah. Yeah. 5 and 6 was there for me.
Yeah,
6 was cool.
That was the wait.
6 was
good.
It
was okay.
3 and 4 is only let down to me.
It was okay.
3 was rhyming.
Well, it was okay. A lot of that shit I knew already. This one right here was like more motivation and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, for the time, for a minute, I wanted to go outside and run 4 laps and shit. And then when it went off, I was like, maybe not. But, hey, man, I appreciated these two episodes, man. It really got into the shit this time. So, where you guys want to start, man? Michael's first retirement?
Start at the beginning, man.
All right, Michael's first retirement. Conspiracy.
That shit crazy.
Was he suspended?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And that should have made me mad, though. Like, to be going through what I'm going through and for you to attribute it to me, that should have pissed me off.
Yeah.
Tremendously.
Yeah. I was thinking that, too. Like, why would anybody, you know, want to retire? First of all, if I'm Michael Jordan, right? Well, I'm not Michael Jordan, but just, why would anybody want to retire when they're hot and their career is on fire? One. And then two, if I'm the commissioner, why would I want to suspend easily my moneymaker?
Fair. Yeah. I think the commissioner question is more valid. I think more of the commissioner more than Jordan. Like, I think since I've been in the league, the media and everybody been hounding me, and now it's starting to turn. Like, I need to go. Like, I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah.
I think he was just tired. I think he really was tired of the bullshit. Like, I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah, that shit with his pops was kind of foul, man. That shit with his pops was kind of foul. But as fucked up as it is, I still didn't feel as sorry for him. Like, the story made me feel bad. Yeah, no. I'm saying
this nigga is heartless.
I'm saying the story made the story is tragic, right? What happened to his pops is completely tragic. Just a tragedy all the way around.
Okay.
But if Twitter was around, I think they would have ran him out before his, I don't know.
Probably.
Twitter kind of, social media and death is really kind of
depth.
Niggas probably would have seen his pops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, man, this shit could have been way.
Would have seen his pops slow.
You at least, I mean, all you had to deal with was rumors. You know, you didn't have to see no pictures. You didn't have to see no video.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because they didn't find his dad for, like, they said weeks. And they found him, like, in the creek. Like, we didn't see Kobe's death. We didn't see Kobe's body.
That's because it was completely locked down, though. But there were pictures. There are pictures of it. And I'm pretty sure at some point in time in our lifetime, those pictures will come up. But
I don't think they would have locked down his father's death. Like, we're not talking about Jordan. Like, his father don't got no entourage around him and nothing like that. So if you just randomly walking down the street and you see something going on, or
how about like a, if you find like how often are you going to just be
finding somebody in a creek?
In a creek.
I just how reporters are now, and they want the news first. Like, I think it would have went deeper than just simple rumors. Like, this was just like, okay, rumors, you know, Michael kind of went off, disappeared. The boys went to, I think, whatever, 18, 19 or whatever?
Who?
The ones who killed his dad.
He just said like 18?
Yeah, so they had their trial, and it was kind of like he had the funeral. He didn't have to deal with, like, graphic shit like the normal. Like, he didn't have to find out his dad was killed from TMZ type shit. You know what I mean? I think now, because the reporters want the news first and so fast, shit would have been thrown out there. We probably would have seen a few pictures, you know, video here and there.
He still had to deal with the "it's your fault." He still had to deal with some bullshit. It probably wasn't on social media.
And maybe that's bullshit. Just me being desensitized because of what we've witnessed on social media.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucked up, but the way it could be presented to the masses could be so much worse.
Yeah.
That's how I'm thinking it, not the tragedy itself.
If social media was around, it definitely could have been presented in a terrible fashion.
But, so, you know, he retires, going about his baseball business. And I fucked with that White Sox uniform.
Yes.
I fucked with that uniform.
With the nines on? I be looking at the shoes in every single
scene. Oh, he was practicing in it? Yeah.
Every single scene, I'm looking at what he got on his feet.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about baseball, so I can't really gauge how he was doing. But according to...
They say he was batting 202.
Yeah, you know, like a 13-hit streak or some shit like that.
First, he had for the 13-game history.
They say he's starting to turn it on. He was starting to turn it on. And
that's the GM, because the owner of the Bulls also owns the White Sox. And they both were like...
Yeah, he said the Bulls were still paying him. Like, you...
That's crazy.
Nigga, this business.
It's good because he was underpaid, though. They feel like he was always underpaid.
Yeah, but that was kind of like, we know you coming back.
Probably. But if I'm a owner, if I can tell you a few more at bats, you probably could have been playing in the majors. That's tough. Like, how many niggas can just sit out of sport for 14 years and just pick it back up? And
how much Jordan get paid in the majors, though? Majors was getting bread then. Like, them niggas was getting banked.
I don't think so.
I think
not back then.
Wasn't baseball getting paid more than every other sport then?
Even now, baseball ain't paid more. It's just the biggest players make more than the biggest players in every other sport.
As far as
average salaries,
I don't think so. I think they get paid
NBA
for longer.
NBA killing everything.
I think they get paid for longer. The contracts are longer. Like, NBA contracts are like 4 years.
Shit, like, if that now.
When A-Rod signed that quarter of a billion, shit was for like 10 years. So it was really 25 a year. It was just such a large figure. Like, nobody had ever made that kind of money.
But the thing about it is, it's just guaranteed money, so it don't matter, you know. Motherfucker got suspended and still got paid.
So it's basketball. The only difference is if you're specialized at a position, you could probably play baseball for longer.
Yeah. What was surprising to me is the way the media reacted when he went on his, like, he went on a little cold streak for a minute.
Yeah.
And I was pretty fucking shocked about that. Like, niggas talking about he's a disgrace to baseball and he shouldn't be playing, and it's like, damn, is it?
Man, when you up that high, motherfuckers. I think with the Floyd shit, it was, and Mike Tyson. Like, when you get to a certain plateau, niggas not tuning in to watch you win, they tuning in to watch you lose.
Yeah, facts.
Facts.
But for motherfuckers to say he was sorry at baseball, hitting 202 in that league, you know, that ain't sorry. Like the owner said, the only reason why he went to that league is because, you know, they didn't have the availability as far as the media if he went to a lower league. But otherwise, you're starting at a lower league. You know what I'm saying? I should have done a research on it, but I want to see where Tebow started at when he went to baseball.
Mm. Mm.
That'd probably be the closest comparison. And even Tebow didn't wait till he was 31 to go to baseball.
So what do you – and what do you – had the lockout not happened, one, do you see him how do you see his career going in baseball? And two, if the lockout never happened, do you see him going back to basketball?
As far as how I see his career going in baseball, you know, you'd need more evidence, you know, because, you know, even if you batting 202 in the majors, you're not really doing too well. You see what I'm saying? As far as the majors. 202?
Yes.
In the majors.
I think 300 is amazing.
300 is amazing in the majors, but normally motherfuckers is like 240, 230. 202, your ass will get sat the fuck down in the majors.
I don't know nothing about the baseball shit.
I don't mean neither. I ain't even going to act like I know.
I don't either. 202 don't sound bad. For 300 to be amazing, 202 don't sound bad, especially if I'm.
It's a whole lot of, you talking about 162 games, a whole lot of at-bats. Believe me, there's a difference between 240 and 202.
Sound like a big, I feel like
about
that many games.
I feel like he would have eventually come back to the Bulls, but not that year. He probably would have came back in 96. Because they were doing so bad in 95, he would have, you know, wanted to come and play the hero role. That's just the way I feel about it. Yeah. You know? So, yeah. So I do believe he would have came back to basketball.
Fellas?
I don't know if he would have went back. I think it depends on what his baseball career would have been. Because, shit, we seen when he did go back and having a baseball body, he wasn't as good no more. So if
I don't know if it wasn't as good. He didn't have time to get
his conditioning.
He didn't have – when he came back, it was like – was it
– it was towards
he only had about 17
games or something like that.
Yeah, he wasn't ready.
I say, in baseball, you sit around all day long. In outfield, you standing, waiting until the ball come your way. When you motherfucking on offense, you sitting in a dugout until it's your time to hit. So you ain't doing nothing.
When would he had time to get ready if baseball don't stop? Like, if they don't go on a lockdown, if they don't stop, when do he have time to get ready? Mm. Like, he don't have time to get ready.
No, but he would have had a whole season that year. All they had to do was make the playoffs.
When do baseball and basketball
ends
normally.
If you are the best in baseball, you make it to October. Basketball starts at the end of October. So he would have had the first, you know, basketball is a long season. That's why a lot of motherfuckers don't even play that hard till motherfucking January in basketball.
Basketball is a long season, but you still got a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of baseball. That's
His
body wasn't ready for basketball at this time.
And I can't put it on
a couple seasons.
And
I don't know if I can.
I don't know if I could put it on Jordan. I don't know if it's the myth. Like, you could tell in the clips, right? Well, I'm not even gonna say that because context is everything. The clips made it seem like he was very fatigued, which he may have been, but the man still averaged like 30.
Nigga came and gave him 55 three games.
So I don't know if it was they lost because Jordan was fatigued or because just that team at the time wasn't good.
I think it was fatigue personally.
Well, I think
fatigue coming in.
But his trainer was like to prepare for a baseball. He had to train completely different muscles than what he was used to in basketball.
Right.
So I can't understate how important that is.
Nigga coming in with a baseball body putting 30 on it.
That's tough. That's pure skill. Like there's nothing you can do about that.
But that was the second game though.
That was third. That was his third game.
So the second or third, whatever. That was the first couple games. That wasn't in the playoffs where he put that 55 piece on him.
So that's what I'm saying. He came in. He had the skill to, you know, have a few good games here and there.
Yeah.
But like your body's going to be worn down. So if my body's trained for a specific sport to do specific things, it's not trained for this.
Yeah.
And then he told him, like it, you know, training for baseball, training your body for baseball is going to be to the detriment of your basketball body. So I don't know if we can understate the importance of that.
Shout out to his trainer too, man.
One of the best.
Shout out to his trainer. He was a big spotlight. He came with it. Like his interview portions were amazing. Like I didn't get choked up, but I was like, yeah, I'm finishing these 50 push-ups. When the nigga got to, you know,
did you do 50 push-ups?
Fuck no. But when he, you know, when he got emotional talking about Jordan's worth ethic, you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. That shit there, bro.
Shit, legendary. Jordan was a legendary workhorse.
I think that's what make Jordan the player he is. And like, it kind of like, so I know people been watching this doc with us. And to see on social media people still downplay Jordan, it's like as an athlete, fuck who he was as a person. Fuck if you ain't like how he talked about people. Fuck if you ain't like all the other bullshit he did. As an athlete, he was one of the best athletes. He was determined to be the best. Like, when the trainer talk about how Jordan did all that to get his basketball body back, how when everything was over, he was like, we working tomorrow. Like, you don't get that from the average athlete now. Average athlete now, like, I get my check. Fuck it.
I think the only one I know of is Jamal Crawford. They said Jamal Crawford's like, he don't have no offseason. So, like, when the season end, he back in the gym the next day working on his game. Other than that, because I know.
Did it work?
Shit, here. Jamal Crawford's still a bucket.
Look how old he is, and Jamal he's still
balling. Jamal Crawford's still a bucket. He should have been in the league this year.
Yeah, he can't guard a tree, though.
That's not your problem. That's why he played the perfect role. You know, give me them points off the bench.
He can't guard a tree.
They don't pay me to do that, man. They don't pay James Harden to play no fucking defense. He get $40 million a year.
James Harden is an underrated post defender, though.
Is he?
Absolutely.
He's posting him up.
He don't play the post. He's a two guard. Right. Guard the fucking perimeter. How about that?
Posting him up. Shit.
If you play,
there are a few times where
Clay posts up, switch, Rosen posts up. That's it.
He's very strong, though. He's an underrated post defender.
Yeah, that don't have nothing to do with you moving your motherfucking feet side to side, keeping this nigga from getting to the paint. That's your job over there.
He not good at his job, though.
Fuck no. Are you good at somebody else's job, nigga? Fuck is that?
Shit.
So does he return to baseball without the strike? That's tough. I mean, does he return to basketball without the strike?
I think it's tough to call. I think it depends on how much he feel like he fulfilled his father's dream. If I don't feel like I did enough for my father to make my father proud of me, probably not.
Do y'all? You know what's. This is going to sound so fucked up. It's not going to sound fucked up, but this is the shit that I'll be thinking about. Like, you remember episode 1 and 2? They made it seem like he was, like, searching for his father's love.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden they, like, best friends?
I was thinking that. Like, it switched fast.
And so I'm like.
And now he's making it like my father, you know, pushed me through high school, through. Now he's making like his father push him. Like the first episodes, you was basically saying like it was all about your brother. He didn't give a fuck about you.
Well, that's the before and after.
Stockholm syndrome.
He achieved his father's, you know, whatever he's looking for his father.
But
that's what we're talking about in these episodes. We're talking about after he achieved that validation from his father.
Listen,
we're still rewinding though. Like
they're rewinding to 93.
Oh man, they gotta stop fucking doing that shit. But that shit is everywhere.
He went back to say when he was a freshman.
Yeah,
and how his father was like he didn't see him going in the right direction and got him on the path to be who he ended up being.
Yeah.
But rewind back to episodes 1 and 2, he act like his father didn't give a fuck about it. He was just doing all the sports shit.
Larry was his favorite. I don't think his father didn't give a fuck. Larry's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Now you are in the NBA and you have Gatorade contracts and McDonald's contracts and Nike contracts. You're my favorite. I'm telling you right now. Whichever one of my kids become a millionaire first is my motherfucking favorite. On my mama. On my mama. If y'all listening, whichever one of y'all become a millionaire, you my favorite. Fuck them other two kids.
Yeah. It's a race to the finish?
On the set. On the set. Whichever one of y'all is a millionaire, you my motherfucking favorite.
I don't see him being in baseball long. And I know Michael is very fair, very fucking goal-oriented. Mm-hmm. I don't want to compare his thought process with Deion Sanders, but it's like, I love baseball, but basketball is home.
You know what I just thought of just now? I think he would have came back because Hakeem Olajuwon won 2 in a row. His motivation for leaving in 93 was, or coming to playing in 93 was, Magic Johnson hasn't done 3. So if he leave in 93 and Hakeem Olajuwon win in 94, which he did, and 95 and 90, he did, I think Jordan come back just to be like, I ain't gonna let you pass me. Nigga, it took me. I had to get my ass beat by the Pistons. I had to get my ass beat by the Celtics. I had to go through Magic Johnson to achieve what I achieved. And as soon as I leave, you about to run through three straight? Nah.
You think he would have felt that way about a center, though?
About who?
About a center, though?
Anybody. Shit, he wasn't. Yeah. Kenny Smith was over there, too.
I think he was, honest to God, I think he was ready to come back when he seen the team succeeding without him.
I think it was once. Like I said before, I think it was the fact that they weren't doing well. It's like it gave him a reason, like, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Cool. And then Clyde had 1-1 that second year, too?
No.
Clyde won one in Houston? Oh, nigga, I'm definitely coming back.
They weren't doing well in 95, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When he came back. That's why I think he would have came back in 96.
94, I felt like it probably was already in the back of his mind. Because he's still in the locker room. Mm-hmm. He was still in the locker room. And the team is succeeding without you.
Yeah, in 94, yes. In 95, not so well, though.
I think they was 34 and 31 when he came back, something like that.
Yeah.
But so it was kind of like a challenge for him. Okay, let me get him back to prominence.
Shout out to Scotty, because then Michael Jordan was like, oh, these niggas really need me. But we're going to get to that in a minute. So I'm looking at all of this in totality, right, from 91 to 98, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a bunch of mess. I wonder if Jerry felt, in his teammates and his coach, I wonder if they felt like Jordan quit on them by retiring.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
You know, it's funny. What was interesting, though, is at the press conference, I saw several of the players there, and they didn't look like sad or shocked or mad. They was like giggling and shit. Scottie Pippen was giggling. I think B.J. Armstrong was like giggling a little bit with Scottie.
I think Scottie was like, nigga, this is my time. Before he found out, like, this shit much harder than it is. Like, Jordan retiring.
But they still talk about Scottie at that time. Trying to leave.
Yeah. He was still. No, this was 98? Was it 97, 98?
No, they said that even then, though, like in 93, 94, like when he started having this good season, when they said, well, Jordan's coming back, like, which
y'all feel about Pippen? Oh, yeah, regardless of Jordan coming back. He was still talking about leaving. Yeah. That nigga was talking about for a decade.
Pippen?
Damn near, like, nigga, I'm ready to get up out of here.
Pippen wanted that bread, man.
But, so it's crazy that, you know, I know Michael was trying so hard, like not trying so hard, but I know he has this like this persona, right? This perfect persona that he wants to give off. And I know before the documentary, he was like, look, y'all going to see a side of me that y'all may not approve of. And it's like, man, this documentary is giving us the complete opposite, or we're taking it the complete opposite as what he thought. But I wasn't. His shit talking wasn't nothing to me.
But shit.
The fucked up part is the teammates couldn't retaliate. But his shit talking wasn't like.
For others, though, is like other people are killing Jordan for this doc. Like you see people killing Jordan for the doc.
All those different locker rooms that they can, you know, draw from. And say, our shit wasn't like this, and we still want to ship. You know what I'm saying? So
You still got people. I don't think Jordan, like you said, I don't think Jordan did nothing too bad.
I think he was probably in the first. Maybe Larry Bird.
And I'm like, was bad.
When you think about his predecessors, though, because he's coming on the heels of Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson is the fun guy.
Yeah,
Magic Johnson is a completely different.
They say Larry Bird was like that too, though.
He probably was.
Larry Bird wanted to fight too.
Larry Bird probably was. So, but I don't think Larry Bird was in the spotlight the same way Magic Johnson was, as far as in terms of his personality. So you're looking at two different personality spectrums. Like he's the complete opposite of Magic Johnson, who's the predecessor. This is whose wave I'm riding to the next to take the NBA to the next level. When Kobe came, when them clips of the Lakers practices leaked and Kobe was talking back to them niggas, Kobe was definitely worse.
Kobe was horrible.
I'm pretty sure Kevin Garnett was probably way worse.
Kobe's calling niggas bitch ass niggas and everything else.
KG got some storage around that motherfucker for sure.
I heard the wife tastes like Cheerios. Where the fuck he's at? Bella and shit.
Honey Nut Cheerio. Bella was going for that shit, nigga.
Yeah, so I'm like, make the layup, ho. I'm like, what is that? Like, you can go to any hood on the block and go to the park, and you gonna hear way worse shit than that.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. I don't know about it. I don't know if you expect that in a professional basketball setting, though.
Nigga, basketball is basketball. Like Curtis Blow, baby.
I think so.
But I don't think you hear that kind of talk really between teammates on the streets. That's usually, you know, against motherfuckers going at
it. You sorry as a motherfucker? What?
I don't know.
Nigga, I'm passing you the ball and we fight and we arguing. Nigga.
That's y'all.
I definitely almost squared it with my best friend.
You trash, nigga. But I think the only person, and he might have irritated, it might have irritated Jordan as well, though. But they were close. Is Scott Burrell?
Yeah.
Like, he the only one that I on the dock was like, all the shit Jordan talking, he giving it back to him. He, like, making fun of it.
Who? Scott Burrell was giving it back to him?
Like, he was.
I thought he was being quiet.
Yeah, he was quiet, but he was, I'm talking about, like, he's responding to it in a way that, like, if I'm talking shit and you responding to me like that, it's irritating me.
Yeah. He's responding to it like not responding.
Because everybody else was.
Oh, Michael, you're so witty. Oh, Michael.
Yeah, that should have irritated me. Like, bitch ass nigga, I'm talking shit. And you being too nice.
Michael, I get what you're saying,
bro. Nice. He for sure was still being nice.
While fuck yeah, he was. Shit. That shit was making me mad. Michael, I appreciate you pushing me, bro. Nigga, nah, fuck that, nigga. Yeah. Fuck that.
But the person, I think the person, that this documentary, Scotty's legacy is getting stomped on.
Tarnished.
Oh my God. Tarnished. Like,
it's all shit Scotty did, though.
I mean, I know his pops passed away, but you got to. Passed away a few days earlier, but like, the headache.
It just showed that he was a poor sport.
The refusal to go in.
He's a poor sport.
There's a lot of shit that he was doing. This like, Scotty.
That's old, but this is the first time I think we have ever seen it. That rumor was old, though. Like, I had heard that before. I had never seen it. I didn't know what it was going to look like.
What?
That Scotty refused to go in the game.
And then man's made the game-winning shot.
So you look extra salty. Got Bill Cartwright big ass crying and shit. I wish I would see a 7-foot nigga crying about some basketball.
Did he have a reason not to go back in the game?
No.
He's because cried.
You wanted to be. The crazy thing is that, you know, it was contradicting. They said, oh, Scotty was a facilitator. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then at the end, they say, oh, you know, well, he want the goddamn ball. You know, yep. It's like, which one is it? Because if you're the best player on the floor,
he didn't call himself. He didn't call himself a facilitator, did he?
No, I ain't saying he called. I'm saying they call him a facilitator. But if you're the best player on the floor and they draw up a play for somebody else, you still need to be on that floor as a motherfucking, you know, to take that motherfucking defense away from that player. You know what I'm saying? Everybody worry about you. You're the best player. So if I'm out there and I draw up a motherfucking play for Kukoc and I put Scotty out there knowing that they're going to look for Scotty to get that motherfucking ball, Kukoc should be wide the fuck open. That's like, you got to go with that
not
shit.
If he inbounded, well,
it was still the same thing, though.
Not I think
it's
inbounded.
The same
play. It's a lot of NBA players where a motherfucking inbound the ball to try to motherfucking get the defense thinking somebody else and then the ball come right back to him.
In 1.8?
Ain't have enough time.
Not in 1.8.
Ain't have enough time.
It's not enough time.
Ain't no time to make the pass and make the shot. I think if he draw it up, like what you saying, I think if he draw it up and Scotty is in the game with Kukoc, it helps. It helps to, okay, the ball gonna go to Scotty and it maybe Kukoc get a better shot.
Yeah.
But regardless, nigga sunk this shit.
Nah, fuck. I felt where Scotty was coming from, though. Like, nigga, I sat here and got my ass beat with Jordan. I went through all them battles. Now he gone. I'm supposed to be the fucking man. Like you say, I'm a facilitator. Okay, that's cool. But when y'all was recruiting this dude, y'all was calling him the left-handed Magic Johnson. I mean, he's supposed to be a fucking facilitator, too.
So, since you said that, let me ask you a question. Because Michael Jordan was already in his shit. And I remember vividly when Mans hit the three-point shot. I forgot what's his name. And they were in a timeout. And
talking about Paxson?
And Phil said, Michael,
Paxton gonna be
he's going to be open.
Yep.
And he passed him the ball. So Michael didn't quit. Michael said,
Michael had the ball. Michael could have fucked up. It was Michael's choice to make a smart basketball play. Michael could have fucked up.
But
he could have been Michael. He could have been like, nah, it's me. I got the ball. It was my decision.
But with the play drawn up, they knew Paxton would be open.
We know he's going to be open.
Exactly.
But ultimately, it was Michael Jordan's decision to pass John Paxton the ball. I could have been Michael Jordan. I could have been the Michael Jordan I had been up to that point and said, nah, I got it.
But he wasn't, though. You arguing the wrong thing. Like, what are you talking
about? He could have, though.
He wasn't that person.
It wasn't Scottie Pippen's choice.
Scottie didn't get in there. And it Jordan did.
Yeah, we would like, never
Jordan
know
played the
man's
play,
quit.
And Scottie didn't do the play. Like, you was arguing the wrong thing.
Was the play drawn up for John Paxton to get the shot? Or was he saying
John Paxton is wide
drawn
open.
Drawn up for John Paxton.
Passing the ball.
John Paxton is going to be open. They're going to come to you. John Paxton is going to be open. Dish it out to Paxton. Paxton made the shot, which changed when Mays Jordan started trusting his teammates more.
I disagree.
I'm saying
John Paxton was open and Michael Jordan passed the ball. I don't think the play was drawn up for John Paxton to get the ball.
When they got in the huddle, Phil said Paxton is going to be open. Pass him the ball.
That's not the same thing as drawing up a play for John Paxton.
They drew up a play where they knew Paxton was going to be open, and it was communicated that Paxton would be open, and Paxton was open, and Paxton made the game-winning shot. So whether or not they drawn up the play for Paxton, Paxton was a motherfucking option on that play,
the option that came through. He was the option. It was Michael. Ultimately, it was Michael Jordan's decision to pass the ball. It's smart basketball.
But we know Scottie Pippen ain't no option regardless because he ain't getting in the game.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm saying the play wasn't drawn up for John Paxton is what I'm arguing.
It was.
It wasn't. The play wasn't drawn up for the play.
If your coach say, Ivan, Paxton is going to be open.
Pass the ball.
Who is the play for? It's not for Ivan.
It is for Ivan.
What the fuck?
It is for Ivan.
Man is arguing with himself right now. I don't know.
I'm not arguing. There's a distinction between drawing up a play for John Paxton and saying, we're going to run this play. Paxton will be open. There's a distinction between the two.
I don't see
the Ivan, difference. Pass him the ball. It's not your play.
Nah.
This thing is crazy. Come on, man. Let's move the fuck on. This thing is wild.
This nigga's on, man.
There's a distinction between the two.
Do y'all feel though this documentary is hurting Scottie's legacy?
Oh, Scottie did that. It's just reporting on shit Scottie did. There ain't no secret story that they coming out about
and
Scottie.
And then they asked him, "What is there anything you would change about that?" And he was like, "No, I'll probably do it all over.
That's the part that hurt him. I don't think the actual, because that's like I said, that was old. Him saying, yeah, I would do it all over again. That's like, nigga, what? That's the part that hurt him.
It hurt him for me. I was a Pippen fan. Like, I didn't buy no Jordans. I bought Pippins, though. Like, I bought Pippin shoes.
Pippen,
I was a Pippin
fan.
Pippin
had some heat, though. Pippin had some heat.
I was a Pippen fan.
Pippen
so
had some heat.
It hurt for me, like, damn. Because the whole time, for me.
Bro, you ain't bought Jordans because Jordan came out with white and blacks. Pippen came out with the white and reds. That's why you
oh
had
Oh, God,
Pippen's
that's why name. I had the white and red. Oh, it don't matter. I still bought them.
Pippen had some heat.
That's the first one I bought, too. Oh, hey, shit. But, yeah, so for me, Pippen was, I always thought Pippen was really the team player. Pippen was who made Jordan a better team player. That was my thought of it as a kid. Yeah. As a kid, I'm thinking Pippen is making Jordan a better team player, which is the reason why Bulls is getting these ships.
Yeah. Pippen thought, through all the winning, he thought he was the number one.
Yep.
And then when he got by himself, no, I'm not.
The Bulls still had the best record in the
how do
in
I,
the
how, how does one fight with their ego?
Yeah.
And then fight with their skill.
The Bulls
he has the perfect skill to complement Jordan, but Pippen is not a number one.
They had the number one record in the East that year.
And they said
that was purely off the triangle. They had the triangle perfected. That wasn't because of Pippen.
But that's
that was
saying.
A team effort.
They ran the triangle perfectly.
Better
as Pippen.
Better without with Michael Pippen. Jordan. They ran it better without
that,
Michael Jordan.
But I'm saying that's a system, though. That doesn't mean Pippen is a number one. They just had a system at that time and the complementary players.
I'm damn near the MVP this year. Nah. I'm the best defensive player in NBA right now. I'm scoring. How he's not the number one?
That was Phil's. 94 was Phil's best coach year. and they perfected the triangle. The ball was always moving.
And I'm getting all-time scoring and all-time defense.
Okay, so the best. I mean, I'm not
all-time
scoring.
Wasn't he all-time scoring that year,
Hell
too?
No, he scored 22 a game that year.
Well, he was defense.
But that was his first All-NBA team, though, that year.
I get it. They rewarded the top guy at that time on the top team. But that doesn't make him a number one. He's just in a great fucking system.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of get that because the next year when – who left? Grant left? Who left the next year?
Horace Grant.
When Horace Grant left, the team wasn't doing as good. So
That they perfected that triangle.
Do you fault him for feeling like I should be the number one guy?
No. Ego in basketball would tell you I'm a number one guy, but skill wise, He wasn't that.
Do y'all think that those feelings for Pippen, as far as needing to be that number one guy? And that play were only because they brought Kukoc in?
No. Remember when they first drafted Pippen? Pippen came in and said he was going to be better than Jordan.
Yeah, I get that's just quickly, that's just young person confidence talking. But remember, they went through all of that shit with Kukoc as far as on the dream team and all of that shit. Not only did this dude come over, I need to prove I'm number one over this dude, but not. This is the end of the game. Y'all drawing a play for this dude.
And I did say that he wouldn't make it in the NBA.
I think Kukoc transcended the game. Like, he spread the floor out. Yeah. But his defense was so bad, I don't think Pippen was ever.
Basically, what I'm asking is, had that play been drawn up for B.J. Armstrong, you think Pippen would have not won the game?
No. I think at that time, that was Pippen's ego. Like, I'm supposed to be the number one guy on this team. Yeah. I need the ball in my hands.
I get that, but I just think it going to Kukoc added that extra oomph to it.
I think they were saying like Kukoc hit a few game winners that season. Like that play that they ran.
I get why the coach did it. I'm just talking as if I'm speaking basically as if I'm Pippen. Okay. And I have this ego. And this player that y'all have been talking about replacing me with for years is now getting the last play of the game in the playoffs.
Facts.
Yeah, I think it was less about Kukoc and more about I'm the number one. I should have the ball in my hands.
I think it was more about Kukoc. I did say that he wouldn't be able to play in the NBA. You downgraded his whole skill, and he was supposed to come in to replace you, and now he's getting the chance at the last shot in a playoff game.
No, and
he's making more money than me.
I'm thinking bigger than that. Okay. So if I'm Pippen, I've always been in Michael's shadow.
Yeah.
Michael's no longer here. We're winning without him.
Yeah.
And I have a chance for one of those historic highlights.
Yeah.
You take that away from me.
Yeah, but I think I think with what Ant's saying, if B.J. Armstrong get the ball, if it's like, okay, we're going to get a ball to B.J., people are like, okay, I'll fuck with B.J.
Well, we draw it for Paxson.
I disagree. I don't think he would.
I don't think he's tripping if they draw it up for Paxson again. You know, like, I don't know. Like I say, it's something worth looking at, basically.
If I'm always in Jordan's shadow, I'm not thinking about none of them niggas. I want the ball in my hand. This is my legacy, and I'm about to build it. We've been winning without this man.
You've never been a game-winning shooter, though. Like, never.
But that's the – that's
you've never been
that's
a
the time.
Scorer,
that's never. The time where my ego is telling me this is the time where I can show everybody what I'm about. Whether I have it in me or not. I don't care about that right now.
Yeah.
This is my time to show that I'm the guy now.
Okay.
Jordan's not here no more.
I get you.
So do you feel Jordan's feelings about how Pippen handled the 98 injury was fueled by the image of Pippen quitting in 94?
I feel like it was when you see how the 94 incident just stained his name so much. You know, anytime that, anything that Pippen does out of his character going forward, you're going to be brought back to that time, you know. And so when it comes to that, I feel like, Jordan's like, oh, here you go, quitting again, So this is my feeling on it.
I think there was a lot of resentment towards Pippen after that. Like, they, I think the players, it's easy now to say, like, we forgive him.
Yeah.
But I think there was a lot of resentment. And Jordan wasn't too far away. So I know Jordan was like, what this motherfucker?
Yeah.
Especially going with how Jordan talked to motherfuckers, that probably.
Oh, I can imagine that. I can only imagine what was said in that locker room and what Jordan was saying in private.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
This is a playoff game. Wait, was that a? It was a playoff game, wasn't it?
Playoff game.
That was a playoff game, nigga. Yeah. You quitting the? Nigga, I don't give a fuck what you did to Ewing. It's an amazing highlight.
When not only was it a playoff game, that was actually a game that if Kukoc missed that shot, the series is done. So, you know.
That was the first game, wasn't it?
I don't think it was the first game.
Mm-mm.
But that was the playoffs. That was when he dunked on Ewing. But
that
to
was,
me,
that
was the next game.
That was like the next game.
No, no, no. Yeah, I'm saying that. But I'm saying that was a great highlight. But what if you put the whole series in context? I don't give a fuck about the dunk. Then you quit.
Oh, you saying like after we apologize, like, okay, we
No, I'm saying like saying after. Because a lot of people, we've always seen this highlight of Pippen dunking on Ewing.
Yeah.
And pushing him.
But I'm saying for the for us, it's an amazing highlight. But when you put that whole playoff series into context, I don't think many people are talking about that dunk. It's you quit. I don't care about anything else you did. You quit.
Even if they get past, him, it also shows that Pippen wasn't made for a championship without Jordan.
I think the fact that Kukoc made that shot saved Pippen's legacy, because even with him quitting, it had no effect on the game. Had Kukoc missed that shot, oh my gosh!
I would agree.
Had it had been a bad inbound pass.
Oh, my God. My God.
Because I like watching it, we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, if I didn't know, like, if I'm my son and I don't know what ended up happening, like, the kids that don't know, and it's like, what if this pass? What if he fucks off this pass? Like, what if Pippen didn't get in? And what if the inbounder overthrows Kukoc?
How y'all think Pippen felt on the bench? Watching that play.
Like a bitch.
He didn't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck these.
Nah, he
fuck
like a
these
bitch.
Niggas. Nah,
he when he made that shot? Oh, nigga, that hurt.
When he made the shot, that
when
hurt.
When it comes to motherfuckers with big egos, they always want to prove that you need them. So with him making that shot and them proving like, look, we didn't need you out there for that. Oh, he had to feel like a bitch. Had to.
Like a bitch.
When he made the shot. But in the moment, between the moments, he probably like, fuck these niggas, man.
Up until that moment, he was like, watch him miss that motherfucking shot.
He probably has some sad puppy dog eyes. Mm.
He probably, yeah.
Good shot.
His lip, because I looked his lip.
You know that nigga's.
His lip was busted too. So I'm like, damn, I took an elbow in the mouth and niggas won't even let me take the last shot.
You know
shot,
how that
fuck
nigga talk
niggas.
Shit. Good shot.
He's deep in the
like, good shot.
Pippen and Jordan friendship don't seem as strong now. That I'm watching this. Not as strong as I always thought it was.
That's true.
It seemed like they was like.
I don't know if anybody on that team is close, honestly.
BJ seemed like he cool with everybody.
Like, without watching this doc, seeing Pippen on, you know, the sports shows and all that, he speaks on Jordan like they're best of best friends. This don't show
I don't
that.
Know if he, I don't know if he can speak on. He the one that said LeBron would get Jordan.
I don't know if I ever seen him speak like that. His best friend.
I don't know. The time I done seen him speak, he done said like one Jordan. Well, he did say that about LeBron, but he still said that Jordan was one of the best players. That Jordan was an awesome teammate. As far he said that Jordan talked shit, but he said that was needed for.
I don't think he said nothing different. I don't think he said nothing different.
I don't think he said it. Just don't seem like they got the friendship, like the friendship that I always thought it was. I don't think any
of them are close like that. Like they were. Is it Luke Longley? Luke Longley won't even take an interview. Like he don't like Michael at all. Mm. I don't think that team. I think the only person that probably is like that don't talk to them, but is still love is Dennis.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dennis got love for everybody.
Like cool. BJ Armstrong seemed like he cool.
I think BJ Armstrong is cool, but I don't know if he's cool with everybody on the team. So
maybe Steve Kerr.
Maybe Kerr.
So only people out in basketball that Jordan made friends with is Kobe and Magic?
And Charles Oakley.
Charles Barkley, but Charles
and Barkley. Bill, beefing.
What's his name?
Now, but they were friends.
Bill Cartwright.
Okay.
Bill Cartwright, so I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I can't see that nigga crying in the locker room.
Seven foot nigga crying over a basketball game.
Come on, young fella. You ain't want to go in the game.
Put your big ass down.
Come on, man.
Come on, young fella. You ain't want to go in the game.
Did y'all, I think Horace doesn't get enough credit for really, really bringing Michael back.
What do you mean?
When they played?
Like, I think Horace also felt like he was in Michael's shadow. I don't know if he was too secretive about it. Michael got him off the team immediately when he found out he might be snitching.
No, he didn't. Jordan Rules came out in 91. Horace Grant didn't leave till 94.
Facts. Horace Grant was there for the whole three-peat.
Wait.
Horace Grant left in 94.
He still got him off the team, and it was like, we done with you.
No,
Jordan was retired when Horace Grant left.
Jordan was retired. That first year that they had all the success without Jordan, Horace Grant was there. He went the next year.
They lost Horace Grant.
I think after the Jordan Rules.
I don't know if Horace
Grant was there for three more years.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't know what his contract was like, but I think the writing was on the wall after the Jordan Rules. Uh-huh. Like, when they were, you know, especially like how Michael, as soon as they brought up the Jordan Rules, Michael was like, Horace.
Yeah.
Like, I think the writing was on the wall.
A bunch of them said Horace, though.
It could have been both ways, too, you know what I'm saying? Because if you Horace, you know, you didn't just leave the Bulls. You went to the fucking Magic.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, obviously there's some tension there. There's some, nigga, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And you beat me.
Yeah.
Like,
whew. Yeah.
I think that was, I don't know if Horace gets enough credit. Like,
I still believe that was still just the Nick Anderson comment.
You think Horace beating Jordan was motivation for Jordan to come back better the next year?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? I think that's just Jordan's competitive nature. Like, I haven't lost a playoff series.
But if you follow in the pattern, like, Jordan had to make up shit, and he had to – any little thing he was taking in for motivation.
Then I would like, still Horace be Nick
did, Horace probably did the most – damage out of all of them. I get the 20, 45 ain't 23.
That to
but Horace, nigga, they was they had Horace up. They had Horace up by his legs and shit. Like he motherfucking Hercules and shit.
Either way, that like, whole team should just shut the fuck up.
I would think that Nick Anderson comment would hurt his ego more.
Yeah.
45 ain't 23.
Yeah.
What? Because he said he didn't want to play in 23 because the last time my father saw me I had on 23. That's why I switched numbers. Oh, nigga, you made me put this 23 back on.
I mean, I get that. Like I said, I just felt like
and I whooped your ass. So
Horace and came back and gave you niggas everything y'all asked.
Horace
for.
Was facts. There was a lot of reason.
Still lost the series though.
There was a lot of reason in there. Horace was like, nigga, I'm in this nigga's shadow. He ain't better than me. And then I beat you, and then the whole team got me up by the legs. What?
Goggles.
What?
He was goggles.
What?
Horace Grant was a big part of that team.
Nigga, what? What you gonna say?
I think Horace Grant was only talking shit because he knew how good that Magic team was, though. Because when you look back at it, that Magic team was great.
Yeah, man, the kids will never know Slim Shaq.
Shaq used to run up and down that court.
A treat. Or a healthy Penny. A healthy Penny Hardaway was the next Jordan. Before,
not even that, though.
Before Grant Hill, I think he was more the next Jordan before Grant Hill.
And that's crazy as fuck because, you know, I was watching Grant Hill highlights and Grant Hill completely undressed Pippen on a motherfucking play. I said, God damn, I forgot how great Grant Hill was. And it's from a huge ass Grant Hill fan. Like, that shit crazy.
He was a man.
Do y'all feel.
You taking Grant Hill over Pippen? I mean, over Penny? You taking young Pippen?
Well, I'm taking Grant Hill over young Penny for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Grant Hill was that dude, man.
Penny wasn't?
I ain't saying Penny wasn't. I'm just saying I'm taking Grant Hill over Penny for
Grant
sure.
Grant Hill was that dude,
He was
man.
That motherfucking dude.
Mm. All right. I'm taking it. It wasn't a lot.
That'll be the. That's the biggest. That Grant I think Hill that's one of the.
On everybody.
That's one of the biggest what ifs.
The thing we got robbed of was the motherfucking 2002 Magics is what we got robbed of. Grant Hill not being able to play along, T-Mac coming into his own. Oh my gosh.
Grant Hill is one of the biggest NBA what ifs.
Facts. You talking about a dude who made the Hall of Fame based off of 6 years in his career.
I ain't rolling. Because Grant Hill was what, 6'8"?
6'7". Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
6'7" power, 6'7" small forward. That's average. 6'7" point guards were. It would have been him and Magic Johnson at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You need to go watch some tape, dog.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, go watch some tape, man. Dude.
He might just be the best person to ever put on that motherfucking Pistons jersey, man. The best, not the greatest, the best.
Dude, in 8 episodes, do y'all feel Jordan feels underappreciated?
I don't think so. Listen, it's 2020, and we still comparing you to the greatest players that have played 2 decades after you stopped playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think so.
You know, because it was interesting to me. Like, you know, everybody felt it when he was crying. It seems like Jordan only cares when you are criticizing him as a player.
Yeah.
Right? But when he started crying, I'm like, And I felt it. I was like, I carry all you motherfuckers.
No, I carry 9 of 12 of you motherfuckers. Nine of you motherfuckers.
I carried you.
Pippen and Rodman held their own.
No, Rodman was like in the Twilight when.
Twilight getting 16, 17 he boards
was
a game.
In the Twilight, but I feel it. But I carried you motherfuckers. All you motherfuckers is accomplished because of me.
Yeah.
And the audacity of you motherfuckers.
Facts.
To question me.
Facts.
As a fucking leader and as a player. Like, B.J. Armstrong. Was it B.J. Armstrong, right? B.J. Yeah. Armstrong, it was a quote that was eye-opening to me. And I would, if I'm Jordan, it's mad disrespectful. Uh-huh. When B.J. Armstrong said, you have to really... And I mean really love the game of basketball to play with Jordan.
Yeah.
Nigga, I'm what? Bitch ass, what?
Yeah.
I think you get the same thing.
I carried you niggas. You niggas got these championships because of me.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can say that to the second three-peat. But to the first three-peat, you know, look, B.J. Armstrong was there from day one. We won these championships together. If I'm B.J. Armstrong and I'm talking, we won this together. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Every time you say that shit about Jordan, it made me think of the Sixth Man when the brother and Marlon was arguing this shit.
That's fucked up. Like, nigga, you niggas won off of my greatness. Yeah. And y'all got the audacity to fucking...
Y'all made it here for me. Because of me.
I'm saying, man, like, nigga, greatness has a price, bro. And it's fucked up. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
What is the price of greatness? And can you be great and genuinely loved by everyone?
Yeah, no. So it's a few players that have been. You're talking Derek Jeter, as far as great and loved by everyone. Obviously not loved by every single person, but, you know, most of the general public. You know,
by the team.
Hmm?
Was he loved by his
Derek
team?
Derek Jeter, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't he cheating?
When he cheating?
Like steroids and shit.
He was signed to the Jordan brand.
Not Jeter. That was A-Rod.
Oh, okay.
Jeter was signed to that Jordan brand, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, to be great at something comes with great sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can.
Magic?
Yeah, Magic.
I don't know, man. Magic got a squad, too, though.
Yeah. But then Magic did get his coach fired, too, so.
Magic had Kareem. My man's had James Worthy.
Yeah.
I think he had James Worthy too. He had one, at least one by the time James Worthy got there though.
He had Kareem.
Young Kareem.
He did. He
Younger Kareem.
He like played that. The finals without Kareem. Played the finals without Kareem.
Yeah, you're right. He did play in Kareem's shoes for that final. Yeah.
And I don't know if.
As a rookie.
We ain't got a really, really in depth documentary on Magic yet.
He's universally loved.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I don't know.
Other than Isaiah Thomas.
So where was that love at when he came out and said,
I got AIDS?
Yeah.
I was in 91, I was 7. So I was young, but I knew that AIDS was scary as a fuck. AIDS was scary as fuck. Nobody knew how. Nobody. It was all misinformation.
I love you, nigga, but you got the corona. Elbows only, homie.
This is way worse. Because at the time, the stigma was you had to be gay to get. You had to be gay. It was for me. It was mostly gay. You either had to be gay or you had to be on drugs, or that was it. That's all we knew. So you had to either be gay or on drugs.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is why when he came out, he had AIDS. Isaiah Thomas went around asking niggas. You think Magic sucking dick? That's probably one of his words. But rumor.
Yeah, I'll feel you.
So, yeah, nigga, AIDS was scary. AIDS was scary as fuck. I have an aunt who died from AIDS. Yeah. AIDS was scary.
Now, I don't mean he was loved because AIDS is scary, though.
No, he's saying why wouldn't nobody stick up for him? Like, it's at the time, we considered it a gay disease. Like, most sports are hyper-masculine on the surface.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you want to be associated with at the time is a gay man.
It could also have been that, you know, motherfuckers just didn't have a lot of information, so people
didn't want to speak about what they didn't know about.
I'm just saying, I don't know if he was.
You didn't know because
when you start pulling back the curtains, you'll start niggas really. I mean,
you didn't know how you could actually contract it. Like I was told if you kiss a motherfucker too long, you can get AIDS. If somebody go to the toilet and sit down on the toilet. You got to wait 10 minutes, or if you go in there, you're going to get AIDS.
Yeah.
I really heard these things. So, motherfuckers didn't know how you got AIDS.
Yeah,
facts.
We just knew that we thought it was a gay disease. So, yeah, who's sticking up for that?
I think, and I think what separates Jordan from the rest of these quote-unquote greats is, yes, Magic was great. Yes, Larry Bird was great. Yes, Clyde Drexler was great. Like,
whoa.
Yes, these players.
Whoa. Speed now.
Hold on. Why you say that?
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
But
Clyde Drexler was great. Yes.
Yes, these players were great. Yes, these players were great.
Remember Clyde Drexler made it to three finals.
What put Jordan over all of them is Jordan dominated.
Yeah.
He left no question. There was no question.
Yeah.
Right. If I'm going against you, I'm destroying you.
Yeah.
There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I think that's what puts Jordan above the rest of them. So, yes, Magic is well-liked. But you could say, oh, well, you know, in the championship, Magic and Larry Bird, you know, they were going about it real nicely. Jordan was ruining niggas' legacies. He was ruining legacies.
Jordan came in the game.
There was no winning when Jordan was. Go ahead and take this L, buddy.
It's a whole lot of great players in the NBA who didn't get a ring, and they fine with that because we know the reason why I didn't get a ring is because of Jordan. And motherfuckers don't look at their careers like, oh, yeah, Malone was great, but he didn't get a ring. We just say Malone was great. You see what I'm saying? We don't even blame him for not getting a ring because we know who he went against.
There's a price to pay to be that dominant.
Yeah.
We don't blame a lot of people for not getting rings.
During the Jordan era. Yeah.
Like, we don't blame a lot of people.
I think he's the only person.
Yeah.
And there's a price to pay for that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing about, you know, I don't know. I've heard it a few times during the, you know, Jordan-LeBron debate where motherfuckers say, well, everybody got a ring on LeBron, you know, and nobody got a ring on Jordan. So, you know, that's that.
I've heard that.
That's a major thing to say, but
why everybody looking at me and shit?
Oh, I mean, you have something to say. I use the antagonist this episode.
Nah, man, just some of that shit y'all been saying, I don't agree with.
So you ain't gonna say that?
Nah, I mean,
it's
a price to pay for greatness for sure. I think different people have gone about it different ways though.
Yeah,
because Kobe was the same guy on the court, but he enjoyed a lot of. relationships outside of basketball after he retired.
I don't think no one fucked with Kobe until he retired.
Why does nobody fuck with Jordan after he retired 20 years ago?
Because Jordan is still super ultra fucking competitive. Like, he deleted Charles Barkley's number because Charles Barkley said the Bobcats weren't good. Like, he's competitive now, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. So he's still it's ruining relationships. When Kobe was like, look, I'm done. He was done. It's over.
I think Kobe's love for the game is stronger than Jordan's was. I think Jordan sees the game as, you know, okay, this is where I've made a niche, and this is where I'm going to, you know, gain financially. Yeah. If I keep selling these shoes, I'm going to get in here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this associated with the game. But I think Kobe had actual love for the game stronger than Jordan.
I disagree.
Kobe draked Jordan's method of training.
He did still.
And his love of the game. I don't think he perfected it.
I don't think he perfected it, though. I think Jordan just took his love for the game and made it a different game. I'm not going to do it from on the court. I'm going to do it off the court. I'm going to try to be as great off the court as I was on the court. It became a different challenge. Kobe didn't want that challenge. Kobe wanted to be a father. He wanted to be an everyday man.
But even
so, I can't say your passion is. I can't say you.
I'm just saying that when you look at Jordan and Jordan's association with the game, okay, he was a player and then he went into ownership, okay.
And then he came back in his 40s.
But I'm just talking about his association with the game. So even if he came back three times, which he did, he was a player and he's been an owner, a minority owner and a majority owner. But those are the only two titles that Jordan has had in association with basketball. You see what I'm saying? But when it comes to Kobe, he's a player, coach's daughter team, did a motherfucking start doing the detail shit on the game as far as ESPN, did a little short film on the game, all that. You know what I'm saying? So these things to tell me that Kobe loves this game. That's just what it tells me. It may not tell you the same thing.
So you don't think Jordan loves the game?
I feel like Jordan seen opportunity in the game.
I think Jordan loves the game. As much, if not more, than anybody. For me to want to be successful, I want to be successful as a player, accomplish that. I want to be successful as an owner. I didn't accomplish that.
No, he accomplished that. He's never been successful as an exec. That's what he didn't accomplish.
He's never been an executive, though.
Yes and no. When he first owned the Bobcats, he made a lot of the executive moves as far as who gets drafted, so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What was his position when he first got with the Wizards?
I think he was minority owner. That's why he couldn't own the Wizards. He came back to play for them to try and boost the profile of the Wizards, get that money up. But he found out after he came and played that he couldn't be a player and a minority owner.
Mm. And when he tried to go back, the owner wasn't fucking with him.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay. Let's get into some quick questions real quick. Are the 96 Bulls better than the 2016 Warriors?
I don't think so, but that's just me.
I don't either. Wait.
I was waiting for his reaction. This nigga did the slowest turnaround. Like, what in the entire fuck?
No, I think that's the 97 Bulls.
97
Bulls. 96 Bulls.
96 Bulls.
96 Bulls, that was 72-10?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
2016 Warriors were
73-9.
Oh, 96 Bulls.
Yeah. What?
I don't think so.
You think the Bulls are the Warriors?
I think, and I'm only judging them against each other. I think the Warriors would have put hands on the Bulls personally, but that's just me.
Mm.
That's just me. We talking about the greatest teams, though. It ain't like we slighting anybody. We talking about the two greatest teams in basketball. Other team you could have put up there, maybe the 2000 Lakers.
I hate when we try to bring people back at a time. Yeah. Like,
because this team was.
Let's make them meet at a certain time.
The 16 Warriors were pre-KD, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. 2016 Warriors was pre-KD.
This is when they got to the finals and lost.
No, okay. That's 2015 Warriors, not 16. 2015 Warriors were the 73-9 pre-KD team. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're talking about a pre-KD team.
Yes.
That went and lost.
But MJ, that Curry shit is shut down.
Mm-hmm. By who?
I think you can switch. You can The Bulls are so fucking long.
But see, this is where
you can switch everything.
People are forgetting why that Warriors team won 73 games.
Because of the fast pace.
No. Go ahead and match up with the starters. Who the fuck is stopping what's coming off the bench for the Warriors? You are not about to sit here and tell me that the Bulls bench could run with the Warriors bench.
I don't think it would get that far because it would be a half court game. And at that point, the Bulls' length would suffocate.
How you feel is going to be a half court game? Because the rebound is the one pushing the ball.
Because it will be a half court game, one, because the majority of Michael's game was mid range.
Yeah.
At that point, yeah.
And who's gonna guard Michael?
Nobody's gonna guard Michael.
So what they're gonna do is they're gonna keep throwing it to Michael in the post, and he's gonna keep scoring in the post.
Yeah.
If I'm scoring, that's a defensive possession.
I'm glad you said
so
that.
So I can get back.
Because what you're telling me right now is that you think a half court offense could have beat the 2015 Warriors, and you out your fucking mind if you think that.
Didn't they lose? You
set up here not against a half court offense.
They lost.
Remember when the Cavs beat them, the Cavs were playing just like them. It wasn't that half court pass, dump the ball in, you know, 2-point turnaround game. That's not going to beat the 2015 Warriors. It's not.
The Cavs was playing like them?
The Cavs were playing like them.
I don't think so.
The Bulls was winning championships.
We already said the Cavs only get the championship because of what they did to Draymond.
Exactly. I feel that, you know, wholeheartedly. But I'm saying the Cavs were not playing a half-court offense against the Warriors.
I think with the Bulls' length, they have the option to switch everything. I think with the Warriors, they got so many teams in a frenzy because they couldn't switch everything.
Again, you're saying the Bulls' length. Who are you talking about with this length? They have length at point guard position, and that is it as far as the Bulls. Jordan was 6'6". Klay at shooting guard is 6'7". Pippen, 6'7". Harrison Barnes, 6'8".
Oh, I'm letting Harrison Barnes let that thing fly.
This nigga stop. Yeah, you're right. That would be the game plan.
I think they would make Curry work hard on defense.
Yeah.
Mike would be unstoppable. And his mid-range game would make the game slow because he is going to score at will. And it's going to slow down the game all the way. It's a possession game. It's not free-flowing.
No, it's free-flowing because the Warriors make it free-flow. Because, like I say, the same person that's getting that rebound, same person getting that rebound and Draymond looks immediately up court. We can say Scottie was the best point forward there was. Nobody has run the point forward position more effective than Draymond. Nobody has. He gets that ball, he immediately pushes that ball. And you're caught out of position.
Okay, so hold up. So not only is I feel Mike and Scotty is killing the transition game because they're scoring from half court. Mm-hmm. Dennis Rodman is also controlling the game by the boards. So where is the Warriors finding this transition defense that you're talking about? I mean, this transition offense that you're talking about.
I just told you.
If I'm controlling the
– You're not grabbing every offensive miss. You're not doing that. Nobody in the game averaged more than 10 offensive rebounds a game. That means you're not grabbing every offensive miss.
Outside of Rodman, who was averaging, you said 16?
What do you mean? Yeah, averaging 16 rebounds a game. Yeah.
So you just said nobody was averaging more than 10. This nigga's
averaging 16. 10 offensive rebounds.
I don't think.
You're trying to stop them on defense. Jordan's, you have to get offensive boards
Jordan,
to do that.
Jordan's mid-range game is their offensive rebounds. They're actually scoring on their possessions.
Jordan shot like what, 46, 47%?
Probably not that high.
Probably not even that high. So like that means he's missing more than every other two shot he takes.
He's probably shooting his 30s. True shooting. I think the difference for me comes into the Bulls on defense because the Warriors when Draymond's at the top of the key with the ball, which is going to bring Rodman out. You got a lot of cutting that Klay and Steph are both doing the whole possession.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Bulls can sustain that for seven games. six game, whatever the series is going to go. Like if you really watch a Warriors game, like really go back and watch one of those games, they do a lot of cutting. That's how they got open on a lot of those shots. Like eventually with Jordan being in his late 30s, mid to late 30s, Scottie being in his mid 30s, all that cutting that the Warriors doing is going to wear them down. That's me. That's to me was going to make the difference.
Off the Warriors bench that year, Sean Livingston, Leandro Barbosa,
Iguodala,
Andre Iguodala, Kevon Looney, you give him that. Most space at center off the bench. There is nothing the Bulls could have done with that bench. Nothing.
They had some lint. Was JaVale McGee there?
Nothing. What'd you say?
Was JaVale McGee there?
Not that year. No.
Hmm. What about?
That was Andrew Bogut year.
FK. Shit, I don't know how you say that nickname.
So how did the 16 Warriors lose?
Draymond got suspended. He got ejected game five.
Andrew Bogut got hurt. The game that Draymond was suspended, yeah. Andrew Bogut got hurt at the
Bogut
end of the
is
game.
A crazy game changer.
Defensively, yes.
I think him and Luke Longley cancel each other out, though. I don't think Luke Longley is.
Luke Longley don't get up and down the court, though. Bogut could get down the court to defend the paint. Luke Longley couldn't do that.
I think he's a better
player. Who guarding Kukoc?
Iguodala,
yeah, shit, that's easy. Kevon Looney could guard Kukoc.
And that's pretty much where the Bulls bench stopped because you got Scott Burrell, Randy Brown.
Bulls was a better team. I don't give a fuck about all that.
They might have better starters, but when you talk about their bench, it's a different story.
It's a whole different story.
I think when I look at shit like that, I think of it like this.
Yeah.
In the 90s, it wasn't as competitive. Of course, like you wasn't getting.
I think that's a myth, bro.
No, I'm saying
Jordan
like you wasn't
through some niggas and them records was amazing.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, within time, everything gets better.
Yeah,
players get better within time. True. Players, everything gets better.
True. Yeah.
So that's just what that is. But these niggas won 73-9 and they lost the championship.
Yeah,
72-10, they won the championship. We better because we got the fucking ring.
But it's like, what it say? It don't matter if you don't get the ring.
The
difference is.
Yeah, but you're saying they got the ring. But if Rodman don't play game five and six, do the Wolves get the ring?
In 1996, who's the best player in the league? What team had the best player in the league in 96?
Wolves.
In 1996, what team had the best defensive player in the league?
In 1996,
what team had the best defensive player in the league?
It was GP.
GP for sure. GP won Defensive Player of the Year, but we can say the Bulls.
Bulls again.
You know, with Pippen.
Hey man,
who had the best rebounder in the league in 96?
Bulls.
All right, now do that same thing with the Warriors. Who was the best player in the league in 2015? LeBron. Who's the best defender in 2015?
Kawhi.
Who the best rebounder in 2015? Won nobody on the Warriors. That's for goddamn sure. The Warriors lost not only because they had help. From the NBA, but they also went against the best player in the fucking league. The Bulls haven't done that.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Speaking of Gary Payton, man.
That's my guy.
Hey, man, I was with him, bro.
That's my guy.
I was with Gary.
Fuck what Jordan talking about.
I was with Gary all the way. I was with Gary all – Gary shutting that nigga down. Man, Mike looked at that shit.
Laughed.
I was pissed, nigga.
Like, what other player can do that though? Like, man, I had other shit going on in my mind. Like, now that all the shit came out, it sounds like Mike. They threw them two games, so Mike can win on Father's Day.
That's exactly what it sounded like. We're gonna give y'all these two because we going back to Chicago for Father's Day. I'm gonna win it.
That's a Bulls fan talking that bullshit. Okay. Fuck
that's
all
what
that.
It
y'all not about
like
to sit up here and discredit my motherfucking Sonics. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not
the only other
him.
Guard outside of Jordan to win the Defensive Player of the League to this day still. You understand me? Give my boy his props.
I'm not of the mindset that Jordan's giving away shit. Even though that 78 points for game five dude looks mighty suspicious. They scored 78 points for the game. That ain't the Michael Jordan Bulls kind of school.
I don't know,
I just don't. I don't believe Michael Jordan giving away shit.
I feel like it's giving.
I just don't. There is no other player that can do that, man. Just look at this shit. Like, man, the guy had other shit on my mind.
He laughed.
And then I think Gary Payton is easy to say. I was watching this, and it's easy to say, look, I wanted to guard him the whole series, right? Yeah. But also George Karl was saying, Gary, we need your scoring.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get tired. Either you're going to get tired from guarding Jordan and being foul trouble, or we're going to put you on someone else.
But that was
so you can get your scoring
on. That was George Karl's fault. First of all, Peyton should have been on Jordan from the jump. Hersey Hawkins can't hold Jordan. Detlef Schrempf can't hold Jordan. Nate McMillan can't hold Jordan. The only motherfucking shot you have at slowing Jordan down is Gary Payton on that Sonic team. So,
facts.
But I need your scoring too.
Yeah, you're right about that. Detlef was giving us like 16, 17 a game. Only other person giving us 20 was Sean Kemp at the time.
So if I'm wore out guarding Jordan, where's that scoring? Where's that other scoring punch coming from?
Yeah, it ain't
so I kind of understood like. Yeah. You know, why isn't Gary Payton and Sean Kemp brought up when they talk about the greatest duos?
I think just because, you know, playoff record? For one, it's probably that, you know, with the Nuggets, you know, beating the Sonics in like, what, 94 or something like that, and it was like the eighth seed or some shit like that.
Yeah.
That stains that kind of shit.
They only had like a 500 playoff record? Mm-hmm. 500, wasn't it?
I don't even know, bro.
I think it was 500. I think I've seen that shit on ESPN.
And then after that year, Sean Kemp left. Went to motherfucking Cleveland. That's when we got Vin Baker. So, man,
Kemp and Payton was the dudes. Like,
it's a lot of those duos, though, that should have existed like that.
I think of NBA Jam, and that's who I'm picking.
And that's where that stops, NBA Jam. I think about no fucking Sean Payton, Gary Payton, no Sean.
No, we was weak outside every other position. Like, we was weak. I mean, I once called Detlef Schrempf weak, but, you know, at that point in 96, we had Big Smooth, who was basically a shell of himself at that time. You know what I'm saying?
So they had Sam Perkins?
Yeah, we had Sam Perkins.
Was Eric Snow on that team?
Eric Snow, yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's what a defender was.
They should be mentioned, man.
Do you think the MJ pushing his teammates thing is kind of overrated given how great his team was?
You say what?
Given how great his teams were.
Yeah.
Do you think the Jordan pushing his teammates to this level is kind of overrated?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think they become as great as they do without that push.
Yeah, because like you said, I just want them ready for this moment here. Like, I ain't doing this without purpose. So, you know, I think it's not overrated.
Yeah, I think Jordan let them know, like, this is a game, but this is not a game to me.
Hell no. He said the tone when he came back, like, oh, you niggas in here smiling and cracking jokes and shit? That shit over with, nigga. Scotty ain't the man no more. All that shit over with, nigga.
Hey, they showed my man's John Starks dunk on Jordan, like, 0.2 seconds. It was so fucking fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's Iverson's crossover?
With who?
Iverson's crossover?
When Iverson crossed over Jordan. Like, Iverson wasn't scared of that nigga.
Yeah, that was 96.
What up, man?
Yeah.
Show that shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was 96. Nah,
you know why? Because every time they get into the goods when it comes to the 96, 98 Bulls, they do that stupid ass fast forward and shit. That mean the fast rewind and shit.
It don't serve no purpose in the narrative, though.
Yeah.
It really don't. Yeah. Like, first of all, we probably beat the shit out of them for the rest of the game.
It's a player has finally come into the league that wasn't scared of him.
If you're talking about Jordan's overall legacy, then maybe.
And I still won.
Kobe, that was Kobe rookie year, too.
I'm still winning.
It's a lot of those.
Okay, so you show Kobe and Jordan going at it, but you don't see that nigga get souped up? Like, nigga, come on, man. Yeah.
For what? That don't serve no purpose.
That play get too much credit for me.
This rookie came into the league not scared of somebody. Like not scared of him. It seemed like everybody that Jordan – They put up against Jordan was all timid and shit.
Yeah, but you talked about Starks. They had battles with the Knicks.
We talking about a nigga that would have went to prison if he didn't make it to the NFL, to the NBA. Like, this nigga wasn't scared of shit.
That nigga had Jordan in the oopty-wop, homie. I ain't scared of you, nigga. Yeah, what?
And they got a crossover. What else do we got?
Right, nigga, it was more than that.
What else do we got?
Yeah, I don't think Jordan took him serious, though.
That shit bad. I don't even – do Allen Iverson become the icon he is without that?
No. So what else do we got?
That is a fucking iconic That's an iconic crossover.
And that is what you say about Iverson's career that makes him great.
You don't have no documentary without that, man.
Dude, 6 foot.
Iverson's documentary. I don't think that.
That's moves. The only thing Iverson got in the documentary. That shit gonna be 10 minutes.
That and the step over on Tyronn Lue. That's it. That's the whole documentary.
No, that whole 2001 season.
He had a hell of a especially season. Especially the playoffs. That's when he made. That's when they made it all the way there.
50-point back and forth between him and Vince Carter. Yeah, he got all the moments, man.
I mean, his rookie year was amazing. I was an Iverson fan his rookie year, just because I hated the way everybody was talking about Kobe so much. So I was like, I need somebody else to get rookie of the year, and Iverson got it.
Iverson that nigga.
Come back
over here. Pop, pop.
You had never seen Jordan be embarrassed like that because he reached three times.
That's what I'm saying. It's a vulnerable moment for Jordan. Like this documentary is like almost like perfectly crafted so you can just
see this.
Y'all
wasn't even competitors like you did.
But it was this rookie that came into the league that wasn't scared of him. Everybody they bring up, everybody is all timid.
Maybe Iverson didn't want to talk either. Did the Sixers
make it to the playoffs that year?
I don't think that moment fits in this particular narrative. I think if you're talking about the history of the league, I think that move by that player represents a shift in the league. So if you're talking about it in that form, absolutely that shit is iconic. That shit definitely belongs there. If you're talking about the narrative of the last day, that shit don't belong. I can't even imagine what Jordan was like. Oh, okay, this is what we on.
I had that nigga to drill.
If Bradford Stanley or whatever the nigga name was said good game, got him a 36 piece the next game in the first half. I can't imagine what the rest of that game.
I don't think Ivan was right. Iverson.
I think they lost
Iverson,
that game.
Yeah, I think the Bulls lost.
I think it needs to be. Iverson ushered in a new era of the NBA.
He did.
You cannot deny how he transcended the league.
He did.
And he came in not scared of the greatest player in the NBA. That is a story.
Hold on. How are you talking about he transcended the league?
He
expound
did.
Upon
with
that.
The way he dressed.
Yeah.
The tattoos.
Yep. He didn't have tattoos at first. That wasn't a part of the story at first.
The way he dressed, the braids, all that.
He didn't have braids at first.
He did start growing his hair that year.
I mean, you can still go into how he transcended. Nigga, you give me a 10-minute. You give me 10 minutes on Scott Burrell, Jordan. Like you can make a story out of that.
That does nothing for the Chicago Bulls.
That move.
It's iconic. And it
transcend that move was like
it does, and it does represent a new era paradigm. It does represent a shift in the paradigm of the NBA. I absolutely 100% agree. I don't think it fits this narrative though.
Not at all.
Hey Jordan, come here. Pop pop.
He did. He gave that nigga two whoopty wops.
All right, fellas. Anything else?
Oh shit, no, that's it for me.
All right, y'all. Next week.
Peace.